If you want you to take your Bible, turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 8, the book of Matthew chapter 8. We're going to backtrack a little bit because I told you that this morning's message was the second portion of Scripture from where we're at. So I'm going back and picking up where we left off, not tonight, but last week. Matthew chapter 8, verse 19. The parallel passage to what I preached this morning is found in verses 23 down to verse number 27. But we're going to go back and pick up verse number 19 here tonight. Matthew chapter 8, verse 19. A certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him there. And we're going to stop our reading right there. I want you to notice with me in verse number 19, this scribe said, I will follow thee. And then in verse number 21, the Lord, now the parallel passage of this is found in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. As a matter of fact, I want you to find that because we're going to be flipping there towards the end of the message. So find your place here in Matthew, locate Luke chapter 9, verses 57 and following. And we notice in the account in Luke that this second man here that we read about in verse 21, that the Lord invited him to follow him. So tonight I'm preaching on the topic of following Christ. Following Christ. Following the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he may go. Now let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Help us tonight. Help us to be pleasing in your sight. Thank you for this day and what it's meant to us. I pray for this service tonight that you'll meet with us in a great, great way. May you forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel. Anything in my heart and life that's hindering you, forgive me for it and get it out, I pray. Help this to be a special time this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we come to this passage of Scripture, the Lord has come down off the mountain where he has preached his powerful message, the Sermon on the Mount. He has met with three different people who had physical ailments, a leper, a centurion servant, and Peter's mother-in-law. And even though their individual situations were desperate and different, the Lord Jesus was and still is the answer to their problems. Now the next portion of Scripture, which is what I read here tonight in your hearing, tells us that a certain scribe who came to the Lord said that he would follow him anywhere he goes. Now again, I've already told you the parallel passage to this is Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. I hope you find it because we're going there in just a few minutes. Now, this passage tells us that the Lord spoke to two other individuals. In other words, Matthew tells us of two people that he spoke to. Luke tells us there was a third person that he spoke to. Now, that being the case, I want to look at these three different people who were confronted with this idea of following Christ. Now, there is no doubt tonight that if I ask the question, who wants to follow Christ? Now, don't do it, but no doubt if I ask you to raise your hand, no doubt hands would go up all over this auditorium. No doubt that intellectually, most here would at least acknowledge a desire to follow the Lord no matter where he goes. However, we see in this text that there are certain things about following Christ that we need to be aware of and we need to consider. Now let me say here, hang on a minute while I loosen this tie, it's killing me, okay? Amen. Now, let me say here that I am so glad tonight that salvation is a free gift of Almighty God. I'm glad that He saves and He keeps free of charge to us human beings. Aren't you glad he saves as a gift of Almighty God? But I want to tell you with authority tonight that truly following Christ is not free, friends. It comes with a price, and you must count the cost. And I ask you tonight, are you willing to pay the price to follow the Lord no matter where he goes? Now, I want to look at following Christ together. Following Christ, three things about it tonight. We're going to learn it from every one of these men. There's three men, so there's three things we learn about following Christ. Number one, we learn that following Christ, get it, promises no temporary comfort. It promises no temporary comfort. We see this in verses 19 and 20. Look at it. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. It's as if the Lord said, Really? Are you sure? Now I want to show you something here. The first one we're told about is a scribe. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he tells him, I'll follow you no matter where you go. Now, a scribe was one who was educated and considered qualified to teach in the synagogue. This certain scribe came to the Lord and expressed his desire to be with him and to follow him. Now, there are those who speculate the motive of this scribe. Some try to say that he wanted to share in the fame of the Lord at this time, while others just speculate other things. In other words, the Word of God does not tell us his motive. And may I remind you, when the Word of God is silent on something, then don't split hairs about it. There's got to be another major thought coming out when he does not say the scribe was asking him this and this is why. He doesn't say that. Some people try to say he was proud at this time. Some people try to say, you know, well, he just wanted some of God's fame here. But the Bible is silent on that. However, we know what the Lord is trying to teach us here. He's not trying to teach us the scribe's motive. He's trying to teach us the cost of following him. Friends, stay with me here just a minute. In this particular passage, we see it's not the Lord's purpose to expose this man's reasoning, but rather his response to the scribe. That is the major thought that comes out here. Notice how this scribe's offer to follow the Lord was quickly put to the test with a denial of prosperity and a denial of worldly honors. The Lord responded to this man by telling him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, the Lord shares with this man that even though the animals had a home, he didn't. He never had a place to call his home, if you will, on this earth. He didn't even have a pillow to lay his head on. By the way, before I get to what I'm saying here, this is a beautiful thing concerning our Lord. Now don't miss this. Here is the creator of it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Yet as the Son of Man, not the Son of God, he said the Son of Man here. As the Son of Man, he humbled himself and became poor, that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. May I tell you that the title of the Son of Man identifies our Lord as Messiah. He said, I'm the Son of Man. And what he was saying is, I am the King over all the earth. We know this through, right here, that through this title, Son of Man, in Matthew 11:19, that he is a friend of sinners. We know in Matthew 12:40, 20:18-19, 26:2, that he would die and rise again as the Son of Man. And we see in Matthew 24 that he will come again as the Son of Man. This is the first time this title is used for Jesus here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. And it shows his poverty. However, the last time it's used is in Revelation 14:14, and it shows his power because it says, And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Yes, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is God, friends. And yet through this we see that when this scribe comes to him and says, Lord, I'll follow you everywhere you go, and he says, The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has humbled himself. And he doesn't even have a place to put his head on. You know what he's teaching this man? You know what he's teaching us? If you're going to follow me, I promise no temporary comfort. I promise no earthly gain. Do you really want to follow Christ? Because if you do, He's not promising comfort, friends. He's not. He wanted this man to know that if his aim was to have a life of comfort, and if his aim was to have a life of ease, and his aim was to have a life of honor, then he was mistakenly thinking he was going to follow him, because following him promises no temporal comfort. He wanted this man to count the cost of following him. Even though it would be worth it all one glorious day, right now we need to know that following Christ wherever he goes promises no temporary comfort. Therefore, if you're looking for an easy road and a way of comfort and ease, don't follow Christ, friends. Don't follow him. Now, he said, follow me. But yet he wants us to know there's no strings attached. If you follow me, I am not promising you earthly gain. It promises no temporary comfort. Do you see that? He's saying, I don't have a house. I don't have a pillow. I don't even have a bed. Let me tell you why so many people never follow Christ, because it costs them too much. Oh, they want what it cost him. They want salvation, but they don't want anything it costs them. You mean if I go there, I might have to sleep in a hut? You mean if I go there that I might not have a home? You mean if I go there, I'm going to have to drain my savings account? Sure, maybe. Is he worth it? Is he worth it, friends? There's no doubt in a crowd this size, listen to me, please, are you really following Christ? Are you really following him? Have you made the same thing? Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. And as soon as he tells you to do it, you say no. Let me tell you why a lot of people say no. Because they're in it for comfort. If it hurts, they don't want any part of it. And I'm telling you, following Christ promises no temporary comfort. None. It promises eternal dividends, but nothing temporary. Amen. Except his peace now. You understand what I'm saying? Number two. We see the second thing about following Christ. Not only promises no it promises no temporary comfort, but number two, it puts emphasis on Christ being first. Following Christ not only good night. What in the world was my first point? Promises no temporary comfort. But secondly, it puts emphasis on Christ being first. Now, let me show you what I mean. Look at verses 21 and 22. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Now, I want you to turn to the account in Luke, and what I'm going to do is stay there, and I want to read this to you here. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 59. This is where we see that the Lord approached this man and asked him to follow. And he said unto him, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now this second individual here we are introduced to is different than the scribe in that it's told us that the Lord invited this man to follow him. The scribe came to the Lord. The scribe said, I will follow you. This man, the Lord came to him and said, follow me. You see the difference? When this man heard the Lord's invitation, he responded by telling the Lord, suffer me first. Now I want you to think about those two words, me first. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now again, there's been debate as to whether this man's father was dead already, which I do not believe that, or if this was his way of asking to go home until his father passed away to take care of his father. I lean towards that. But I tell you, that's not the emphasis. The emphasis, again, is not is this man's father dead or is he alive, and this man wants to go home and care for his daddy until he passed away. That's not the emphasis. The emphasis is this. Listen to me. It is this man's way of asking the Lord to be excused for earthly business. It was his way of delaying from following the Lord now. In other words, the Lord said, follow me. That's right now. And this man suffer me first to go bury my father. In other words, he had something good that he was trying to replace the best with. He was procrastinating in following the Lord and preaching the Word of God. In other words, he wasn't denying here, saying, I'm never going to follow you. He was basically saying, I'm not ready yet. Not yet. Let me go home and take care of some business first. When I get that business taken care of and that duty taken care of, then I'll come follow you. I'm telling you something, that what the Lord is saying here, he is putting emphasis on Christ being first, not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth. He is to be first and first alone. It's been said that it was a maxim among the Jews that if a man had any duty to perform to the dead, he was for that time free from the observance of any other precept or duty. However, we see that following the Lord Jesus Christ takes precedence over any earthly obligation, no matter how sacred it may be. There is nothing or nobody who should interfere with our service to our great God. We are to have Jesus Christ first place in our lives. Notice how the Lord told this man, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Now this was not the Lord being cold or unfeeling toward this man, but rather he was sharing with this man that in order to truly follow him, he must be first place even over his own father. Luke's account tells us the Lord went on to tell him, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. In other words, there is nothing that should keep us from following Christ, even if it's a good thing, friends. We're to put Christ first, even above family and earthly duties. Now I ask you, is Christ truly first place in your life? Is he above father? Is he above mother? Is he above wife, husband, son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter? Jesus wants this man to know when he said, follow me. And this man says, suffer me first to go home and bury my father. By the way, was that a bad thing? No. It was a son's duty to even do that. But when the Lord called him to follow him, that takes precedence over any earthly ties, friends. And he's saying, recognize that I'm above your own father. There's high standards he puts on following him, friends. That's why a lot of people don't follow him. Truly follow him. Because they're not willing to put him above parents. They're not willing to put him above spouse. They're not willing to put him above children, above grandchildren, above brother, above sister, above job, above other things. They're not willing to do that. Somebody says, wait a minute, let me make sure my family's taken care of, and then once I make sure my family's taken care of, then I'll go where God wants me to go. Wait a minute. It has nothing to do, excuse me, friends, taking care of your family is great, but it should not be first place. First place is Jesus, friends. That's it. So I ask you, who's first place in your life? Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is coming from the lips of Jesus. Luke 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I've got a baby girl at home. I've got a son. Beautiful wife. I tell you what, let's do. Let's turn this off, and I'll use this handheld right here. It's number one. Okay? I want you to think, if you're a father tonight or if you're a mother, I want you to think about your children. Okay? Jalen knows how to play the system. What I mean by that, she'll just be sitting there, whatever the case may be. She's done this recently, and she looked up at me, and she said, Daddy, I said, yes. She said, I love you. She's wanting the house. She's wanting the cars. I know that there's an ulterior motive somewhere. But she can have it. You know what I mean? Now, if you're a dad with a daughter, you know that there's no way I can explain what I'm feeling at that moment. If you have a son, after you beat the daylights out of him, wrestling around and all this kind of stuff, isn't it amazing the difference between boys and girls, honestly? I mean, Judson, he's Captain America and all these other kind of things. Of course, I told him, he said, Daddy, who's Captain America? I said, I am. Your daddy, that's me. That's me. He said, oh, so I'm like, oh, come on. Yeah. Now, why would you not think I'm Captain? Don't answer that, okay? Think about my son and the precious times we have together. Think about my beautiful wife, and she is beautiful, friends. I'm telling you, she's watching live. I'm pumping the prime here and all this kind of stuff. Beautiful. Loves God, all these kind of things. I cannot explain to you the love that God's put in my heart for my family. My mom, my dad, my grandma, and so on. My children, my brother, even my brother. Now, only the Lord can give you love for my brother, friends, you know. You know what God's saying here? You know what the Lord's saying here when he says, if you come to me and hate not, he's not saying that he wants you to hate your father or hate your sister or hate. I know what some of you are saying. I'm good there. We're fine. Or your son or your daughter or your wife or your husband. You know what he's saying? He's saying when you think about that and how much you love them, compared to your love for me, it ought to look like hate. Let me ask you a question. When the Lord looks at your love for him, does your love for every other human being on this earth look like hate to him? Let me tell you why a lot of people don't follow the Lord. Children. What will it cost my children? What will it cost my marriage? What will it cost this? What will it cost that? What will it cost that? I'm telling you that one thing following Christ does is it puts emphasis on putting Christ first. He's saying, let the dead bury their dead. By the way, what was this man's problem? That man's problem are the two words that I told you to make special note of. He said, let me first. Me first. Me first. Me first. Let me ask you a question. Who's first? Him or you? It's one or the other, friends. It's not both. And I'm telling you that following Christ puts emphasis on Christ being first. Number one, it promises no temporary gain and no temporary comfort. It puts emphasis on Christ being first. And number three, it plows with an undivided heart. We see this in the account in Luke chapter 9, verse 61 and following. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first, there's his problem too, let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now what do I mean by following Christ plows with an undivided heart? This third one we're introduced to is another one whom the Lord right here has invited, if you will, to follow him. And this one said, let me first go bid them farewell, which at home at my house. Now to this the Lord replied, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now in this we see this man had earthly attachments that was on his heart. He was not willing to instantly abandon the concerns and attractions of the moment. The Lord was emphasizing him renouncing all worldly cares. The Lord then emphasized that when one puts his hand to the plow, if he looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, one plowing. Now, think about back in this day how hard work that must have been. Still hard work, but can you imagine back in Bible times how hard work plowing must have been? And he's saying anybody who is going to plow, and these furrows are supposed to be straight and sufficient, he's saying anybody that puts his hand to the plow, in other words, he's wanting to do the work. That's a good thing. He's not trying to neglect it. He's got his hand on the plow. But he's saying if you have your hand on the plow and you're plowing like this, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You know what he's emphasizing here? He's saying, when you follow me, it means you have made a decision that you're going to plow with an undivided heart. You are not going to know you're going this way, but be looking that way. You cannot have a divided heart and truly follow Jesus Christ. It's impossible. You must give God your full heart. He must have all of it. Because if he doesn't have it all, he doesn't have it at all. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's saying, when you plow, keep your eyes straight ahead. Put your whole heart into it. I know there's things back here that call for your attention. I know that there's attachments back here that your flesh can get involved in. He's saying, but when you have made a decision to follow me, then you will plow with an undivided heart. You will keep your head straight ahead. You will not look back. You've made a decision to go for the glory of God. Don't turn back. Don't be divided. Give me all of your heart. A picture of this is found in Genesis chapter 19, verse 26, with Lot's wife. The Lord was very gracious in sending the angels to get them out of Sodom. And he told them, don't look back. But you know the story. Lot looked back. Lot's wife looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. May I tell you that if God told you to go forward and you look back, you may not literally turn into a pillar of salt, but your heart might. Your heart might. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ deserves our best. He deserves everything we have. And in order to truly follow Christ, one must plow with an undivided heart. He must give his whole heart to the Lord. He must not be attached to something or someone else. Does the Lord Jesus have your full allegiance? Does he have your full heart? Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He said in Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might. Now we're looking at following Christ. Now these messages go hand in hand with how the Lord's been working on my heart. And I'm telling you that I need these messages. And the Lord is training me and he's showing me things. And one thing he showed me in my study is that if I'm truly going to follow him, he promises no comfort. Now the comforters with me, what I'm talking about are earthly comforts like a home, a house, a temporary things, a pillow, all these kind of, he promises nothing. That doesn't mean he's not going to give it to you, but he doesn't promise it. Amen. He promises he's going to meet your need. I know that. But when it comes to temporary comfort and ease, he never promises that if you follow him. Never. It wasn't easy to go to Brazil. It wasn't comfortable to leave America and step off the plane in Brazil, scared half to death. That's not a comfortable thing. That's not a life of ease. He never promised comfort. He never promised ease. Number two, he puts emphasis on him first. Even if it's a mom, a dad, a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter, a grandson, a brother, it doesn't matter who it is, Jesus demands first place. First place. Number three, you say, I'm going to plow. You know it's what God wants you to do. You know that that's what the Lord wants you to do. So put your hand to the plow. Grab the plow, friends. But he's saying if you grab it, don't do it half-heartedly. Don't do it with part of your heart looking that way and the other part looking this way, because if you do, the furrow's not going to be straight, it's going to be crooked. It's not going to be sufficient. It won't be deep enough here, and it won't be shallow enough here. If you got to, listen, you've got to see to dig. And he's saying if you put your hand to the plow, and if you decide to follow me and you really want to follow me, do you recognize, have you counted the cost, you may not have a place to lay your head? Have you counted that cost? Do you understand if you truly decide to follow me that I'm not demanding second place, I'm not demanding third, I'm not even demanding a close second, I'm demanding first all alone. I'm above your wife, I'm above your husband, I'm above your children, I'm above your mom, I'm above your dad, I'm above your church, I'm above your family, I'm above your job, I'm above it all, I'm first place.
And he's saying, do you really want to follow me? Then grab the plow, look ahead, and don't be divided. Now, what's God speaking to you about? Somebody says, I'm following Christ, are you? Has it cost you anything? Because if it hasn't, you're not following. Amen or not, friends. There is a cost to following Christ. You read the New Testament, and it looks like the Lord is almost discouraging people to follow him. Read it yourself. What's he doing in these passages here? That first one comes, I'll follow you anywhere you go. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. Son of man hath not where to lay his head. That doesn't sound like somebody who's motivating him. Good. God bless you, sir. Come on. It's going to be great. Come follow me. It's going to be wonderful. He didn't say that. He said, are you willing to pay the cost? Don't you see what the Lord's doing? Why are there so many good, godly Christians who have stopped short of full surrender? Why? Let me tell you why. They're scared. Jody, I don't mind going so far, but I am so afraid if I come to that altar and say, Jesus, anywhere you go, I'll go. I'm afraid he might send me to Timbuktu. I'm afraid he might send me to Africa. I'm afraid he might send me to India. Glory. Or Thailand. I'm afraid he might send me there, send me there, send me there, send me there. Let me ask you a question. What are you afraid of? Can I say this to you? We know without a doubt, not one single solitary doubt do we know that this trip to Thailand and India is of God. There's some things I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I need to pray about that a little bit longer. Not about this trip to India, to Thailand. God has met with my heart and met with my soul. And he has told me and my wife, this is me. Yes, you go, boy. I'm all in this thing. Can I say something to you? That's the only place you'll have real peace. Real peace. Not comfort. We don't know what we're going to be eating. Some of these other men do, and for some reason they're not telling me. We don't know what we're going to be eating. Listen, it may not be as comfortable as my bed at home. I don't want to leave my wife and leave my children, leave my parents, leave the comforts of America. I'm not lifting myself up. I'm just telling you I'm a human being, friends. But I know God's telling us to go. He said, okay, if you go, I'm not promising comfort. I'm with you. That's what I'm promising. My presence is with you and my peace is going to be with you and the comforter's living in you, but I'm not promising you that it's going to be easy. He never promised that. The only thing he promised is his presence. Can I say something? That's all we need anyway, isn't it? What is God telling you to do? Have you ever at any time in your life really, I mean really, in your heart, really, have you really told God anywhere, anything, anyone, just tell me? Have you really made that decision? Can I say something to you? I have. And it feels great. Because I know that is where peace comes. So what is God speaking to you about? Are you holding back on God? Are you saying, I'll go that far but no further? Are you saying, I'll follow you, Jesus, but let me first see my children out of the house and make sure they get grown, and then I'll sell out? Are you saying, I'll follow you, but let me first take care of my family financially, and then we'll sell out lock and barrel? Are you saying, I want to follow you, but let me first, and you fill in the blank, because there's a lot of me first going on out there, friends. What is it that you're holding back from Jesus? What is it? Why not turn loose of it and say, Lord, I really want to follow you. And I know you don't promise comfort. I know you place emphasis on being first. And I know when I put my hand to the plow that you want all of my heart, not part of it. and I'm bringing it to you tonight. Take it and use it. And you know what he'll do? He'll take it. He'll protect it. And he'll use it more than you and I ever could. Amen. Following Christ. Have you made that decision? Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us to believe you. I thank you, our Father, for the peace that comes with surrendering a heart to go wherever, whenever, and do whatever you want. Give us peace. I thank you for what you've given me. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I ask you as they begin to play through softly, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you really saved? Somebody says, Jody, I don't know that. Could I encourage you? Stop playing games. The greatest thing and greatest decision that you will ever make in your life is to accept the free gift of salvation, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Have you trusted him? Do you know him? How many tonight say, Jody, I'm not sure that I've ever been saved. Or maybe you know you've been playing games. You've been speaking the language or coming to church and putting on a happy face, but inside in your heart, you do not have peace that heaven is your home. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm saved. I'd like to know I'm a Christian. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm saved. God is speaking to me. And what he's speaking to me about is really selling out. I mean really saying to him, Lord, I really do want to follow you. No matter the cost, no matter what it is, no matter where it is, what it is, who it involves, I want you to make the decisions in my life. I don't want me first, I want you first. If that's your heart, really is your heart. Now you're not lying, I'm not asking are you perfect, but if that's really your heart, that's what you want. And God is speaking to you about that. Would you be honest and raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, God is speaking to me about this, Jody. He's speaking to me about just really giving in, just selling out. If you raise your hand to that, I'd like you to look right up here at me just a moment. Several of you, a lot of you. I don't know what God's saying to you, but I'm speaking to you from experience. That the Lord has brought me to this exact point in the last week and a half. I'm literally preaching my testimony to you a little bit tonight. You'll hear more about it when I get back into the country, God willing. But I'm preaching something that I've lived in the last week and a half. And I'm telling you, when you make that decision, peace will flood your soul. Because it's what God wants. It's time we take our hands off of our life and say, Lord, it's not me first anymore. It's you. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're sitting in the middle, if you're sitting on the end, wherever you're sitting, in the back, in the front, if God is speaking to you, and in your heart you say, I want to follow Christ, really I do, and I want him to know it, as Brother Gary sings, I want you to come. Father, help people to respond in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. Leave your place. Come to this altar. Say, Jesus, I mean business. I'm not playing games. I want to follow you no matter what. I want to follow
I
you.
I have decided
I want to follow you. Come on. Talk to God about it.
Jesus.
Talk to the Lord about it.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
There's still time for you. Come on.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
They're playing through soft. If you're standing, you can look this way. I realize a lot of you can't see me, but you can hear me, I'm sure. After what he sacrificed for us, There is nothing too great for him to ask of us in return. He gave himself, he sacrificed himself, and he asked us to do nothing less than that when it comes to following him. I died for you, he says. Are you willing to do the same for me? Paul said, I die daily. I'm not necessarily talking about physical death. I'm talking about dying to self, dying to your own ambitions, dying to your own selfish dreams. This is what this is about. And may the Lord help us. Let's sing one more verse. I'm going to ask all of the men who are going on this trip, along with your family, if you'd like to come. I'd like for my son, if he wouldn't mind, to come down here. He's in the balcony. If my mom wants to come, she can come too. That's up to her, but she doesn't have to. But my wife is joining us. I'm sure she's probably grabbing the computer and all this kind of stuff maybe. I want all you men to come on up here. If you wouldn't mind, just stand with me here. If your family wants to come with you, that'd be great. I'm going to ask our preacher. Preacher, if you wouldn't mind, I think I said we're going to sing one more. Let's not do that, Brother Gary. I'm going to ask our preacher, our pastor emeritus, our Moses, to come and have prayer over us and ask the Lord for his divine protection, for his help, for his guidance. I'll tell you this, I appreciate all your prayers. I appreciate all of them. But I'm so glad this man right here who knows Jesus is going to be praying over our trip. And I trust all of you be praying for it. Ask the Lord to meet with us in a great way. That'll be a good thing. I'm waiting on my son and my... There comes my mom. Good. Great. I hope you'll be praying for us. They're trying to get me to eat some Thai food while I'm gone. I'm not sure I'm going to do that, you know. But anyway, we're trusting the Lord for a great meeting, and I trust that you'll be much in prayer for it. Thank you, sir.
Why don't you then can just kneel? But I'd like to, when we dedicate ourselves, I'd like to kneel. You need to come down. Some of you maybe can't. I'm going to put my hand on Brother Jody over here. He's going to be preaching to thousands of Hindus each night. What a great responsibility. And we need the Lord and need the Holy Spirit to open their eyes and their hearts. This is an opportunity to see people in heaven. And so this is a great opportunity. And you need to pray for your pastor and these, Brother Harry, and all of these that are going with them. Brother Sexton, Cherian, as he directs this, and thousands of these Hindus will be brought in. Pray right now that the Holy Spirit will cause them to come and give Brother Jody and Brother Sexton the right messages and freedom to preach Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this great opportunity, one of the greatest opportunities on the face of the earth in the next few days. Is getting these thousands of Hindus and in darkness, spiritual darkness, to come into this meeting over there. Lord, we ask you to sovereignly come upon that place. May the blessed heavenly dove, the Holy Spirit, just be on the music and on the preaching, and may, Father, there be no hindrances. And we pray that you'd anoint our pastor, Brother Jody, and Brother Sexton, and Brother Harry and others, Brother Steve and others that will be preaching over there this week in the classes and in the college there, but especially, Lord, at night when all the great assembly of thousands will come together. I pray that you'd anoint the music and anoint Brother Jody. Just fill him with the Holy Spirit right now. I pray that the sweet heavenly dove will come upon him and upon Brother Sexton, that they'll preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may, when the invitation's given night after night, there be a holy drawing. Lord, you've done it in the past. Lord, you've done it in the past. And we ask you to do a great work, an eternal work in the hearts and lives. And may there be, Lord, may we hear of hundreds, many, many saved, brought out of heathen darkness to the glorious light that's in Christ Jesus. And may they leave and get back on those buses, changed by the power of the gospel. And Lord, we thank you for supplying the financial needs. And now, Lord, we need the power, that great spiritual power of the Holy Spirit. May he, the blessed Holy Ghost, anoint the preachers and anoint this revival, we pray. We're expecting great things. God, would you bless and anoint and help? We pray. We're believing you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the Three in One. I will praise Him.
Love you, folks. Praying for you. Hope you're praying for us. We look forward to seeing you when we get home, God willing. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.